You're looking for a scripture this morning. You can open your Bibles back up to John chapter 2. But this morning is going to be a lot different from what we normally do. What I want to do is set a course for this year to help guide us of where I think we could go, Lord willing. I wanted to do this in the greater body because to just do something like this on a Sunday night or Sunday afternoon service doesn't have everyone, and I want everyone to hear what I have to say. So I didn't want to do it on just a Wednesday night or just a Sunday night, but I wanted to do it with the greater gathering of us together. So what I want to do is spend a little bit of time about talking about some of the obstacles, some of the places of where we're at, and then move forward from there. So first, let's talk about the past a bit and just share how I viewed the last year and how that frames this coming year and where I want to lead us. If you remember, a couple years ago, we had a meeting. I don't know what other to call it than the hard business meeting, where we asked everyone to be here and we asked everyone to, you know, take on one extra job, take on one extra service, start coming more. And, you know, part of that was the leadership of the church was frustrated with the lack of involvement in the church. So we wanted to have a meeting where we would talk about those kinds of things and challenge you to do more. Well, I spent the next year, in a sense, kind of fretting and living in fear and being frustrated with the lack of more. You know, some people, many of you, did take on more, and I'm very thankful for that, and I praise the Lord for that. But still, there was just so much that I felt I was doing, and some of the other leaders felt that they were doing, that no one else was joining in with them. So that created a kind of atmosphere of frustration and a lack of enthusiasm, I think, on Sunday, just our Sunday gatherings. And I think it spilled into the overall attitude of the church. I think there was guilt, frustration, and there was an environment that a lot of people didn't like. And I know this because I've been in some of your homes and talked to some of you about this. And this has all culminated in the end of this year with the loss of three different families now. The Pellerosis, the Colucci's, and the Mark and Karina Merritt family have resigned their membership. Okay. Now, this has been the hardest thing ever in my tenure here, to have this happen all within a very small time span. But what I've realized through this is a few different things. Number one, frustration is not a fruit of the Spirit. So I seek to repent of leading you in that way. And I want to set a course that's not involved in frustration, but excitement. Okay? And I want you to know that even though this year ended with the loss of three families, what happened to my heart after this was I didn't go home and write my resignation letter. I went home, asked the Lord for wisdom, and I can show you my notebook. It's like the Lord just took over my mind and my pen, and I just started writing like crazy, and it just energized me to do more for the Lord and to not feel like, oh, I have to do everything. Because now I am facing doing more, frankly. I'm leading music now. But I want you to know the Lord has enabled me and enlivened me to and energized me to be ready to do this. Frankly, I wasn't last year, and I was just a little tired last year. And the Lord, in taking more people away, hasn't made me more tired and overwhelmed. He's actually made me hopeful. And so I think that's a work of the Lord, to be able to feel that about what's going on. I believe the Lord's working in my heart. I believe the Lord is working here. So what I want to move forward in doing is leading you and serving the Lord with enthusiasm, with joy. I want us to be excited about what we're doing here, not to just fret and be guilty over what we're not doing, but excited about what is going on here, because there are many good things going on here. And I could spend time telling you of all those things, but it's part of my vision for the coming year. We're going to do that. And it's not just we're going to have testimony time. I'll tell you about it in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. A few scriptures that have encouraged me, and you don't have to all turn to them because we're just going to look at these quickly, is Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. Philippians 3, starting at verse 13, says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." That's what we're going to do. We're going to move forward, press on toward the upward prize of Christ Jesus. That's what I want to lead us in. I don't want to lead us in ruminating over bad things that have happened, because it's easy to do that. And that doesn't help you move forward with the Lord. Colossians 3:23 is another passage that the Lord has brought to mind. And it says this, "Whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men." You know, I have been serving the Lord this past year in 2018, but heartily is not a word I would use to describe it. You know, I mean, I've been doing a ton of stuff. It's not that I'm looking for more work. You know, I'm not asking for you to pile on more things. But Suzanne and I have, been tired at times and, taking over every ministry we can. But I want to do it heartily now. And the Lord has given me that. And that's only come from the Lord. And to tell you the truth, that's ahead of myself, my confidence in the flesh has been killed now. The flesh isn't going to get us through this. You know, mere people aren't, that's not what's going to work it out. It's God who's going to do the work. So I'm excited because we're in a place where only God can work. We can't have false hopes now. We're not just going to say, well, we'll divvy up all the work and we'll get it all done. Yes, that we do need to do that, but my confidence is in what the Lord's going to do in this coming year. It's not in what people will do. And people let you down. People have let me down, and I have let you down. Can we just all say that, right? I mean, we can admit that. I don't have a problem with that. My confidence is in the Lord. Psalm 81:10, this was the verse we were in immediately after I got some of the notices of leaving the church. But Psalm 81:10 was the psalm we were in that Wednesday night. And I just love the phrasing in it. Let me read it to you. It says this, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." And that's what I'm looking for in this coming year. I am asking the Lord to fill my mouth with good things. And that's what we can look forward to. We're not going to have this attitude of, oh no, and distrust, and so-and-so is not coming, and so-and-so is not doing this. We're going to open wide and let the Lord fill it. That's what I want to do in this coming year. So now what I'm going to do is share some practical steps toward that. Our mission, remember, is growing real followers of Jesus. That's what we want to accomplish here. In the last few weeks, I have prayed tremendously for wisdom because the Lord says in James 1, in trials, you pray for wisdom. And I have never known the joy of this verse as much as now because it says, the old King James, he upbraideth not. And I don't know what upbraideth meant, so I like more modern versions because upbraideth just means to pick on you, to say how horrible you are for something. And I'm so thankful that the Lord gives wisdom and doesn't say, you dummy, you didn't know how to do this. What did you think would happen if you acted this way? I'm thankful that the Lord gives wisdom. When he could upbraideth me, he doesn't. So the Lord does not despise people when they ask for wisdom. So in response, as I shared, in response to news of people leaving and looking at the situation of this year, I sat down and wrote these ideas. And understand, I am not trying to manipulate you into doing what I want, to making this church the place I want. This is what the Lord showed me. And you know, I have never used this language in the 10 years I've been here. I've never said, I believe the Lord is wanting us to do these ideas. I've always kept it real, you know, if you want, if you like, but I just believe the Lord wants me to just come down and lay it out, and we're going to try this. And if we fail this year, fine, we've tried something at least, right? We failed at trying to do the Lord's work. But if we succeed, if we open our mouths and the Lord fills it, just think of how exciting next year can be at this time. Think of the greater vision we can plan for more than even just this area. You know, one little thing that encouraged me, I went to a conference this year, and there was a guy talking about these churches in Africa who don't even have buildings. They've got like 30 people, and they have plans to plant a church. Why? Because that's what you do as a church. They don't say, well, we don't have the resources, we don't have this and that. They're planting churches. You know, and so that convicted me because we've at least got a building, you know, and we have, you know, maybe 10 times, 20, 100 times more money than they do. So we can move forward with no matter what the Lord has for us. So this is my vision for the year. I base it off of that passage we read in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Here's what Jesus did in this passage. He turned water into wine. And I know I've shared this with you before, but think about that. The very first thing that Jesus does, and what does John call it in verse 11? This is the beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. You know what it means to manifest something? It means to make it clear. It means to make it so everyone can see. And what is the first thing Jesus does to make people see who he is? He turns water into wine. So that shows me Jesus was not a fundamental Baptist because he doesn't understand. You know, come now, we drink that. But you know what that shows me about the heart of Jesus? He didn't just, as his first thing, heal someone's physical problem. That could have been his first sign. To heal something that all of us would agree that's a need. You know, it's a need to be healed, right? It's a need to be risen from the dead. It's a need to walk, you know. Or he didn't even do feeding of the 5,000 as his first sign. That's a need, right? To eat. It's a basic human need. What did Jesus do as his first sign? He did something that was a want. He did something that was a celebration. He kept a celebration going. That's amazing. That shows us the insight into who our Jesus is. And if we're going to grow followers of Jesus, we need to follow that pattern of not just doing things that are good enough or not thinking big, but we need to think about ways to serve people that are extravagant. Not as a gimmick to reach people, but because Jesus loved a wedding enough, he loved the people there enough to give them more wine and have that be the first manifestation of his glory. That's how I want us to start loving people in this coming year. So that will maybe seem different from how we've done it in the past, but we need to be a church that goes out of its way to show love and welcoming people into this place. So the things I'm going to propose might seem different than things we've ever done before. They might, frankly, you might say they're not that much different. Pastor, you should go further. I hope you'd say that. That'd be great. But what I want to propose in this coming year is to act the way Jesus did. So for the one thing, Jesus showed a sign of what the future could be. He showed that he has the ability to miraculously make all things new. And you know, that's the duty of a leader. That's what I'm trying to do today. A vision is defined as giving a people a clear picture of what could be. That's what Jesus did through this sign. Through turning water into wine, he's showing, I have power over all creation to make it new and to make it abundant. You know, not just give you water to drink, but give you wine, give you tasty things. I've shared with you before, aren't you thankful that the Lord didn't just make every tree of the field and everything we eat cauliflower, you know? Aren't you thankful he gave us different tasting things, apples, oranges, grapes, you know, whatever the case. You know, wouldn't it just be dull if everything was cauliflower? You know, gritty, gross, a fake substitute for pizza crust that doesn't really work. You know, rice, people try to use cauliflower for rice. No color, no chlorophyll. No, God gave every fruit of the tree of the field for us for eating, except the one. So Jesus was showing, here's what could be. Well, I want to show us what could be. And on top of that, Jesus showed that his ministry was one of abundance, not stinginess. And that's what I want to do in this coming year. I want to lead us in a vision of being more welcoming. So that's what I want to talk about next. Welcoming. Because here's what we need, frankly. We need more people serving in this church so that we can reach more people. And at this point, I'm going to have to train them. And I will gladly do that. I love that maybe in 2 years, we will have all new deacons who have never served before. And you might think, well, but they wouldn't be experienced. But understand, when the early church started, did their deacons have 10 years experience and their pastor have a resume of 20 years of service? No. Okay. So in this coming year, if we reach more people, people are going to need to be trained into ministry. So to reach them, I want to show this abundant love to them. Not just you come in here, you act like us, and you feel, once you feel like you're in, then you'll be fine. No, I want them to feel welcome at the outset. So here's a few changes I'm proposing so that we can train new people to become the church. Not coming to the church, but becoming the church. If we serve the community in love, we will be more welcoming in our church. So let's look for areas. You know, I'm not specific right now. Let's look for areas to be more welcoming and loving to our community. You know, I'll tell you one great thing we just did. We collected money for that family that had a fire. And you know what happened right away? Suzanne and I were driving down the road and we got a little notice on our phone that so-and-so, who we gave the Christmas gift to, said they liked Skyline Baptist Church's page on Facebook. You know, so immediately it had that impact. The person went to their internet and said, let me look up this church, and they started following what our church is doing on Facebook. You know, I want to see more of that, not just more likes on Facebook, because, you know, there's another church in Rome. It literally has, like, hundreds of thousands of likes on Facebook, and I think, how, they got, like, people in Bangkok liking them. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I want to reach Rome, you know. There's only about 30,000 of us here, so. So serve our community in love. Here's a huge way to do it that I think our church could grow in. I think we need to love families. Now, I'm not talking about gimmicks that will gather people in. I'm talking about serving people. How can we serve families? For instance, I ask this question of myself, why would you come here if you're a child? You know, I mean, what is there for you here? The pews are hard. The music is a style that you haven't really grown up with. You know, is there much going on? There isn't that much. Is there a playground out there? No, not really. You know, so I want to start thinking about things that would make families more welcome here. One of the key things that's going to fit into this is our Sunday school program. And I praise the Lord. After a couple Wednesdays ago, Dave Brady came up to me and said he has some ideas about promotion, about how to grow a Sunday school. He's done it before. And so we're going to try some of his ideas. He's excited about it. He also says he does it with fear and trepidation, but I'm just excited that someone's excited about a children's ministry. On top of that, I have an idea of getting something that would be an activity for our kids downstairs in one of the rooms. And Chris and I have talked about this. I've talked to some other people. Just something that would be inviting for kids, like an air hockey table, a foosball table, or a carpet ball table. Do any of you know what that is? Here's Gordon and Chris playing carpet ball at Camp Bayuca. And it's just real simple. It's a table set up with carpet, and you set up these pool balls, and you throw them, and you try to knock the other guy's balls into a little bin in front of you. You know, and if you go to Camp Bayuca, kids are at that from a.m. to p.m. You know, they're up before their counselors playing it. They're, you know, I mean, they have a curfew at night, so they go to bed. But when I was a counselor there, you would hear clack, clack, clack at 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, before anyone was up. Just something like that. It doesn't even have to be this exactly, but something for the kids. Not because they need it, not because it's a gimmick that will get people in, but because Jesus can turn water into wine at a wedding, we can love families that way. We can be welcoming to families. Because right now, to adapt and become part of our church, you have to be about 50 years old. That's the age range, you know? I mean, think about this honestly. Sitting and listening for 45 minutes is something that you don't do even as a 20-year-old, you know? So if all we ever do is things that are comfortable for 50-year-olds, we can't be surprised that we only have 50-year-olds. We have to be more inviting to younger families. You know, I've been to churches where pastors have announced, and if you went to the Thanksgiving service up in Pulaski, there's little kids squirming around, screaming, and the pastor said, "I love hearing that." Now, his point was, I love hearing families here. And you know, I don't do that because sometimes it's my own kids, and I've tried to serve you for the 10 years I've been here. I've tried to quiet my children down and not demand things for them. But you know what? There's more than just me. There are families out there. There's lots of families, and we need to reach them. So I'm not being self-serving, saying that I want this to be welcoming for our families. You know, I'm looking at families out here as well, and I'm looking at families out there, and I want them in here. So I want to serve them. I don't want to gimmick them into coming here. You know, there's a saying, what you reach people with, you have to keep them with. Well, that's fine. We'll reach them with providing something fun to play with, and we'll keep that here. And we'll repair it if we need to, right? We'll keep families in by loving them. So some sort of activity for the kids to gather around. And, you know, if Gordon wants to play it too, that's fine. Other ways to love families. We're including children in our ladies' Bible study and our Seeds to Trees breakfast. And I've been talking with Chris about some ideas about how to even expand that breakfast into maybe some activities in the coming year of, you know, where the boys just get together, do things like camping, stuff like that. Right now, we have several young ladies, and a few of them are from outside our church, and they are coming to ladies' Bible study. That's great, you know, and I want to keep that up, and I want to see more. And so we're going to include children in ladies' Bible study. We're going to be a welcoming place for families. On top of that, what we're going to need is more staffing for children activities. Frankly, we don't have enough Sunday school teachers. We don't have enough junior church teachers. We could use more of that. One more thing I'd like to see us do is update the cry room. It's kind of cramped in there. It's small. The speaker's not hooked up. There's an ability, I guess, to hook the speaker up so that you can hear the sermon. So, I want to make it more inviting in there. We've got a cabinet with cleaner. Maybe we can get the cleaners out of there, put it somewhere else. I don't know. Just so that the cry room isn't a storage room. You know what else I would like to not be a storage room? The baptismal tank. Amen? I mean, wouldn't you love that to be used, not for storage, right? So we want to do that, to be welcoming to families. That's my first way of welcoming, is considering families. My second way of welcoming is